firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Welcome to Through the Bible. Do we have any senior citizens listening today? Those maybe over 80 and walking with the Lord? Well, you're in good company as we continue to look at how God blessed two senior saints, Joshua and Caleb, who were enjoying the accomplishments of God's victory in the new promised land. You know, I love this reminder that we're not finished until God says we're finished. Did you know that it wasn't until the year that he retired from his pastoral ministry that Dr. McGee began teaching through the Bible in 5 years? Maybe we're feeling a bit nostalgic as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of that milestone, but as you get your Bible open to Joshua chapter 15, let me tell you about the man whom God used to expand through the Bible's global impact in those early days. His name was Paul Freed, and he founded Transworld Radio, now known simply as TWR. Dr. Freed is now with the Lord, but his work continues to bear fruit for the glory of God. Dr. Freed is an MK, a missionary kid, born in Syria. As a missionary kid, he was concerned for children growing up around him who didn't know about God's love. God used that compassion to lead Dr. Freed into his life's work of international missionary radio. In 1954, his first radio station went on the air from Tangier, Morocco, broadcasting in English and Spanish. Later, he established radio stations all over Europe, Southern Africa, and South America, which, by the way, was the station that first broadcast through the Bible in Spanish back in 1973. We have a clip of Dr. Freed that I thought you'd enjoy. Though it's from many years ago, it's very relevant to us today. Here's Dr. Freed.
I am totally convinced that there is no other answer to the needs of people. There's no addition, no subtraction from the final word of God. And to me, that's the most important thing of all. Today, I believe two of the greatest things that God has brought together is Christian radio and this marvelous teaching of the Word of God. It's you, you dear friends, and I today, on Dr. McGee's behalf, want to thank you for being a part of this great ministry. God has used each one of you mightily, and you stood together. It is beyond comprehension how this work continues to move ahead. It doesn't stand still. It moves ahead. Dr. McGee is with the Lord. And tonight, as he's in heaven, I'm sure he rejoices to see you as part of it. But don't stop. Don't stop. Friends, there's a world out there. You've seen the needs out there. My friends, it is you that stand between the gap, you and the other friends, and you and the many others who make this possible. And sacrifices, I've heard many of them, but there's so much more that God would have us do in prayer and giving and being a part of it. Time is running out, and you can be a part of it. My friends, you, right here tonight.
Well, you know, Dr. Freed was right, both about the need and the opportunity that we have to be part of God's solution to reach the world with his good news of salvation. And he was also right in urging us to stand in the gap. You know, one of the most effective things that you can do to be part of the exciting things that God is doing in our generation and to stand in the gap, as Dr. Freed put it, is to pray. Our world prayer team is an effective army of intercessors, united together in prayer every weekday for one country at a time. I think it's one of the most effective ways to share God's word with the world. If you're a member of the team with me, then I encourage you to stay faithful. Keep praying. On days when you're excited to read that email and hear about what God is doing, and on days when you're not, show up willing and available for those few minutes and ask God first to strengthen you as you lift up others and then to hear your prayer. And if you'd like to join us as we travel around the world on our knees, then sign up to receive the email every weekday. Go to ttb.org/pray. I think you'll be glad that you're involved. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's our privilege to stand in the gap for the people of the world who don't yet know you. Impress your word upon our hearts today as we listen and apply your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as we come today to the 15th chapter of the book of Joshua, you'll recall last time we were talking about this man, Caleb. What a wonderful man he was. Spent 40 years in that wilderness, and he killed off the rest of the crowd. Didn't do a thing but make him healthy. Fact of the matter is, he was in better condition after it than he was before. And yet the others, they died. How wonderful this section is, by the way, that tells about this man. And what killed the others? It had no effect on him. Their tombstone became his stepping stone. They grew old and he grew young. And there were giants in that land. Others trembled. They thought of themselves as grasshoppers. But you know, he thought of God. And therefore, though he might be a grasshopper, God was on his side. There was freedom from fear in the heart of this man. You see, it was Martin Luther that said, one with God is a majority. And so what difference did it make about the giants in the land and the fact they were grasshoppers? God was bigger than the giants. And as we said, Paul could say, reaching forth unto the things which are before, the hope for the future. And this is the man that had the faith that is spoken of in Hebrews 11, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down when they were compassed about 7 days. There's a motto that I had on the wall of my study for many years. I don't know what happened to it. Somebody took it down, but I'm going to dig it out now that I think of it and find it and put it on the wall. It was Judson's statement. You remember he spent about 12 years in Burma, and there was not a convert. And the board that sent him out, like a great many boards, they didn't sense the situation at all, nor did they sense what a tremendous missionary they had in Judson. So they wrote him a very diplomatic letter just to see if maybe he should come home, or they made quite a few suggestions. And they said, well, what about the future? And he wrote back, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And that's the reason that man Judson could stay in that wilderness of Burma all those years and suffered a great deal. So it was time well spent, by the way. Took a long time for the revival to break out, but it finally did. Caleb lived like that, and that you and I might learn to live like that. Now when we come here to the 15th chapter, we come to a place where we find actually the land now is divided. And that, again, is something I think very important for us to see, that the land is divided. And in this section, and I'm going to begin to hit some high points here, we find that from 15 to 19, the consignment of the land to the tribes of Israel. And you will notice that I'm just going to lift out certain things. We find that God had given to Caleb the city of Hebron, and he was a member of the tribe of Judah, and they also got something else. Verse 20, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families, and the uttermost cities of the tribe of the children of Judah toward the coast of Edom southward. And then they're mentioned here, some cities. You'll have difficulty finding most of them on your map. But they were way down in the Negev. Now, we think of Jerusalem being in the tribe of Judah, and it was, of course, and that was the important thing. But you read the list of these places that are mentioned here, and friends, you're going to find out that a great many of them is using the common language of the street today. A lot of this was in the Tules. A lot of this was way out yonder, but it was given to the tribe of Judah. Now we find in chapter 16 that Manasseh and Ephraim, they were the sons of Joseph. You will recall that the tribe of Levi was given no land. But 12 tribes were given land. And Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, his two sons, each one is counted as a tribe. That was the tribe of Manasseh. That was the tribe of Ephraim. And Manasseh had some of their territory on the east bank of the Jordan River, which they shouldn't have stayed over there, but half of them did. But the other half that came over are now given a portion. And if you have my notes and outlines, you'll notice there that we have a map, and you'll notice that just about in the center of the land you have Ephraim and Manasseh, that is on the west side of Jordan. But way to the north, actually on part of the Sea of Galilee, is Manasseh, and then Gad is in that area too, the Gadites. They were over on that wrong side. Now, I want to lift out an incident that's in this 17th chapter here. It's quite a remarkable instance, and it concerns the children of Joseph. And that means Ephraim and Manasseh, and of course Ephraim in particular here. Will you notice this? And the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, saying, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto?" Now they're complaining that they haven't been given a very large portion. And very frankly, they weren't given but about half of what Manasseh was given, the brother. And they were not given near as much as the tribe of Judah was given, or Simeon. And they were a great people, a great number of them, you see. Now, Joshua belonged to that tribe, by the way. And they come and they felt like, well, since Joshua's our man, why, he'll certainly take care of us. But it doesn't look like Joshua did that. And friends, if you travel up through that country, you find out it's very hilly. They call it mountainous and rugged. It's as rugged a country as I've ever traveled through anywhere. And this is what now was given to the tribe of Ephraim. And we find here, verse 15, "And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." Well, you notice two things. First is that if you traveled in that country today, there's no wood. Those hills are about as bare as they are in California. That is in Southern California. There's no trees there. What happened? Well, the enemies that came into that country down through the centuries absolutely denuded the hills of trees. As you know, there's a great campaign in Israel today to plant trees in that country. When I was over there, I planted 5 trees. I planted one for myself, one for my wife, one for my daughter, one for the church I serve, and one for a Jewish friend. I planted 5 trees over there because trees will grow there. That land was covered with them. And in Christ's day, why, the Mount of Olives was covered with trees. If it was just that little clump of trees that's there today, why, they wouldn't have had any trouble finding where he camped out with his followers. But you must remember that it was a regular jungle or forest that they went into in order to find him. And that was the reason that Judas went along to point out the place, as we've seen before. Now, I think that Joshua gives to his own tribe, the tribe of Ephraim, a very noble reply. He says, now, if you don't like what you've been given, well, you get up there in that area where the land hasn't been taken. And you must remember that it was said way back over in chapter 13 that there was much land. God said to Joshua, "Thou art old and stricken in years. There remaineth yet very much land to be taken." It wasn't possessed. And now he says, get up there, and if you want more territory, you go after it. There's so many Christians today complain about their lot and about the situation that they occupy in life. They feel like, I want to do more for God. I want to do this. I want to do the other thing. Well, my friend, why don't you lay hold of these spiritual possessions? Paul again says, blessed with all spiritual possessions. That's you, Christian friend. Now, Joshua gives a noble reply here. He says, Ephraim, you don't like what you got? Complaining? All right, get up there and lay hold of it. But remember, there are giants in the land. You'll have to work. You'll have to fight. It's going to cost you something. And the reason today that there's so many Christians that are so beggarly, in fact, of the matter is, that's the problem in our churches today. And that's the problem of a great many preachers today. I heard the story years ago of a great preacher in New York City. And he was taking a vacation up in northern New York, in the northern part of the state. He was in a little country town. On Sunday, he went to church that morning. And there was a young preacher there. And lo and behold, a young preacher was preaching one of his published sermons. And he was almost giving it verbatim. And when the young man came out after the sermon, shaking hands at the door, while this preacher went by from New York, the famous preacher, and he shook hands with him and he said, young man, I enjoyed that sermon today. How long did it take you to prepare it? And the young man said, oh, it didn't take me about 3 hours. And this man says, that's strange. It took me 8 hours. You see, friends, if you're going to lay hold of spiritual blessings, you're really going to have to work at it. A young man that I had in class many years ago, he went out into the active ministry. He was in a place about 3 years, and he came down to see me, and it was a distress call. He said, I'm in trouble. I didn't know what it was. And when he came in, he said, you know, Dr. McGee, I'm all preached out. I haven't anything else to preach. I don't know what to do. Been in the place 3 years. I said to him, how much time do you spend in the study each day? Well, he said, I don't spend very much time. I wouldn't be able to tell you, but it's not very much. I said, how much time do you spend preparing a sermon? Oh, he said, maybe an hour. I said, just an hour? Yes. Well, I said to him, that's the reason that you run out. That's the reason you're through. He said then to me, how long do you spend preparing a message? And you've been at it now for some time. And I said, yes. I said, some of it's actually a review. But I said, I never preach a sermon that I don't spend 8 hours. And some of them I've spent as much as 20 hours. Now, it may not look like it when you listen to them, but that's the time that I spent in getting up. My friend, I want to say to you today that if you're going to lay hold of spiritual possessions, as Joshua said to Ephraim, you don't like what you got. You run out of sermons. You can't go any longer. And you're drawing from somebody else. Then for goodness sakes, move out and lay hold of these great spiritual blessings that are yours. But remember, there's an enemy there. There are giants in the land. Satan will trip you if he can. And it's going to require hard work. There's no explanation for that. I had a professor in school. One fellow came in one day. He was complaining about a book that we had to read, outside reading. And he says, Doctor, it's as dry as dust. And the professor said, well, dampen it with a little of the sweat of your brow. That'll make it come alive. May I say to you, this is a great argument for hard work, by the way. Joshua says to his own tribe, Ephraim, don't come around me complaining. You go up there and get it. The land's there for you, but you're going to have to work at it. I think this is a marvelous thing here. Now, verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill's not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. You see, they've got an excuse why they're not going and getting the land. Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, hast great power. Thou shalt not have only one lot. Only? There's more land for you. But the mountain shall be thine for its wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, though they be strong. This is the way you're to do it. You're going to have to drive them out. God will not arbitrarily give you the land. Every place that the sole of your foot shall stand upon, that's yours, God says. And this is a marvelous thing. Oh, today, how many of us are so poor spiritually? Why? We just didn't get up and walk and tread on the land, friends. We didn't lay hold of spiritual blessings. Now in chapter 18, we read here, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdivided before them. Now, Shiloh was the place that they came to when they crossed over, you will recall, and it actually is a very famous place, but it was not to be the permanent place to begin with. It was not in the center of the land, and the place that God would choose would be through David, which would be Jerusalem, and that would be the place that would be chosen later on, but not Shiloh. Actually, it's to be a temporary place, and later on we'll find out that this is the place that Samuel, he commuted all over the place from Shiloh, by the way. But when you come to David, you will find out that the capital is moved to the center of the land. And you will find also at that time that Jerusalem, the city, the Mount of David, Mount Zion, that was David's favorite spot where he built his capital. That's where he was. So that actually Shiloh now becomes the temporary place for the tabernacle. And here is where the children of Israel are to come to. Now, he gives to them a challenge, and we'll close with that because it's the same challenge that we've seen today. Let me read verses 2 and 3. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? And actually, these other tribes were just standing around with their hands in their pockets, and they were saying to Joshua, Well, what about this land? What are you going to give us? And Joshua said to them, How long are you going to stand around? Why don't you go up and possess your land? You've been given a certain area, and that was marked out, and you're to go up and possess that. How long will you wait? And that is the challenge I think that God is giving to us today, many of us. Why are you so slack to go and to possess the land God's given you? He's made over to you all spiritual blessings. He has been good to you. Oh, how today so many of us can thank God for His grace, His love, His goodness, and His mercy. How wonderful He is. Why don't we move in and lay hold of all these things God has for us today? Believe me, these tribes now begin to move out, and they go out now to possess the land that God has given to them. We're going to see, by the way, next time, I think, two of the most remarkable things. For instance, the people of Israel, because this man Joshua has been busy leading them, they didn't give him an inheritance. And now they give him the part that he wants. We're going to see where he chose. Quite interesting. You see, they thought of their leader. I think it's tragic today to see so many men in God's service, and we're living in this technical age, and they'll serve a church for years, and then the church makes no arrangement for a pension for them when these cold-blooded business corporations today, they take care of that sort of thing, and God's people do not. Then we're going to see that altar that was built that divided the people. We'll take that up next time. So until then, May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Taking possession of all the wonderful things that God has for us can be hard work, but the results are well worth the effort. Good for you to keep showing up for our time in God's Word. If we can help you find the resources that you need to continue your study, visit ttb.org or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. We'll be back in Joshua tomorrow as we continue our 5-year trip through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat right here on the Bible Bus.
Jesus made it all, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.